Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. This is a fun one. It's this week's mail call episode recorded live on the Locker Room app. It's a mix of live callers and questions that you sent in on Twitter. Going to cover a bunch of topics, including what Andrew Wiggins' deal is, what the Warriors' top paid players would gift the rest of their teammates, and when does Michael Mulder crack the core rotation? It's all coming up next.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, it's a Christmas-themed mail call episode. We're taking calls and questions about the Warriors and the holidays. If you want to chat, request to speak on the Locker Room app. In the meantime, I'll be taking questions sent in on Twitter. Let's get to this one. From Mid-Level Exception, who writes in, Lonzo just bought all of his teammates new Xboxes, and the Clippers just all got new PS5s. What do you think each Warrior would give all of his teammates if he were in that position? First of all, I think it's interesting. There is a Xbox versus PlayStation battle brewing in the NBA. Based on some of my intel, The Warriors are kind of split between Xbox and PlayStation. I'm trying to get this right. I think Andrew Wiggins is a PlayStation guy, and the rest of the young players on the team are Xbox guys. I may have that flipped. I'll have to check my notes on that. But I'm pretty sure that these guys, like Eric Paschal, Marquese Chris, Jordan Poole, some of these young guys, I think that they're mostly Xbox guys, and they like to play Call of Duty and NBA 2K Live with each other. And Andrew Wiggins came in after the trade deadline in February and kind of messed things up by being a PlayStation dude. They all sort of agree that Wiggins is the best at the games, but haven't actually played with him because he plays on a different console, right? But that aside, what would players on the Warriors get their teammates? Well, it would have to be the leading salary makers, right? You think of Steph Curry, Draymond Green. Wiggins is one of the highest salaries on the team. Wiggins actually might just go get all of his teammates' PlayStations and say, hey, come play with me on Call of Duty, play with me on NBA 2K. I think Steph would obviously just gift everybody Curry brand stuff. Everybody gets the Curry 8s, Curry brand headbands and beanies and sweatshirts and stuff like that. I think he would just try to dress everybody head to toe in Curry brand. Eric Paschal would not put up for that. Eric Paschal is a loyal Nike dude. He likes to show up Nike, just like sweatpants, hoodie, Jordans. That's kind of how he rolls. So I think everybody on the team would wear it except for maybe Eric Paschal. And then Draymond is, I think he's just giving everybody the gift of Peloton, right? He's like, hey, look what it did for me. I'm trim. I'm looking good. Everybody gets a Peloton. Kelly Oubre with his, $16 million salary, whatever it is, he's surprising everybody with Gucci belts. I think he's like, look, this is really in. I think let me up all of your fashion games. Oubre's putting Gucci belts in everybody's locker, I think. And I don't know, Klay Thompson. He doesn't really strike me as a gift giver. He's more of like, I think he's like one of those guys that, he's like a gag gift guy. I think he's giving everybody like beer belts, you know, stuff like that. I think that's everybody that's making a really big salary on that team. All right, moving on to the next question. Again, if you want to ask a question, if you want to chat, just request to speak here on the Locker Room app. We are doing a mail call here, getting to this next question from Chris Norton. I thought Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins were supposed to be primarily slashers and cutters to the rim. All I see them do is chuck and miss three-pointers. Meanwhile, the guy that can actually hit threes, Michael Mulder, doesn't get any minutes. The Warriors are going to need Oubre and Wiggins to make threes at some point. They're going to need to shoot about 40 three-pointers a game. I think that's right where you'll see them. They shot 33 three-pointers in that opening night loss to the Nets, but that's because they were just clanking things early, and I think they got a little discouraged with their three-point shot early on. So they're going to have to create space. I think it's ironic, actually, and Steve Kerr has talked about this. they are a below average 3-point shooting team under their own admission. They understand, they acknowledge that they're a below average to average at best 3-point shooting team. This is not Steph, Clay, and Kevin Durant. This is just Steph with a bunch of dudes who are not proven 3-point shooters. But it's almost ironic. Because you're not a great 3-point shooting team, you almost have to take more 3-pointers to earn the respect of your opponent from beyond the 3-point line and create the space needed for guys like Wiggins and Oubre to get to the basket. The problem with that is when you miss your first 7 3-pointers in a game, then nobody's respecting anything. You're just putting up clanking shots and your offensive efficiency goes through the basement. That's the problem. Now, if the Warriors go out there and make 2 out of the first 7, that's a completely different thing. Might not seem like much, but it's a very different thing. You are at least 2 out of 7, 3 out of 7, starting to demand the respect of the opponent. Otherwise, they're going to leave you wide open. Hey, you're missing every shot no matter what. We might as well leave you open. So you kind of got to get on a roll early in the game. That's going to be key. The first, 4, 5, 6 minutes of each game, can the Warriors get going from beyond the arc? If they can, you're going to see the offense open up in a way that it didn't in that first. So you're going to have nights that look like last night. You're going to have nights that look like 30% from 3-point range. And on those nights, then you still have to be able to rely on Oubre and Wiggins and, Eric Paschal and James Wiseman and Marquise, these guys getting to the basket and converting at a high rate near the rim. But in that opening night loss, they missed 12 out of 25 shots at the rim. That's really bad. I mean, I'm not talking about in the paint, okay? I'm talking about in the restricted area. Just a couple of feet within the basket, layup territory, dunk territory. They missed 12 shots there. You can't do that this season. If you're the Warriors and you're understanding and willing to live with the fact that the 3-point shot is going to be a variable night to night. You don't know if it's going to be good or bad or somewhere in between. But you have to be able to rely on what you do at the basket. And to Chris's point here, who asked the question, you have to be able to rely specifically on Oubre and Wiggins, because everything that you're talking about, hey, the athleticism, the length, the hops, the ability to finish, they're great drivers, great cutters, etc. Well, then you got to show it, because it's one thing to drive and cut, but the final part of that is actually finishing at the basket, man. And you got to be able to do that. And Oubre, specifically, he's kind of, I'm already starting to sense what Suns fans and Wizards fans were a little frustrated about, because he has these flashes that are just awesome and exciting. But you'd like to see him finish through contact a little bit more, right? Yeah, you get fouled, but that's not really that hard of a foul. You should probably finish through that. You need to make those layups. Andrew Wiggins, same thing. You can't be clanking layups off the back of the iron. You can't be doing that at 6'7" with that kind of athleticism. You can't. Dunk that stuff home, man. Finish the layup. Finish the drive. And one. Eric Paschal, same thing. They got to be able to do that. We'll answer more questions from the mailbag next. But first, let's talk about betonline.ag. Are you ready for some football? Because college football heads into the bowl season. There's some big matchups this weekend. The NFL regular season is finishing up too, with the playoff picture becoming even clearer. Maybe my Miami Dolphins will make it. I hope they will. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that I trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. That's like winning a free bet before you even do anything. 50% is what you get in return on your initial deposit. There's NFL games this week. Again, college football bowl season is in full swing. And look, if you're one of these NBA people who has been paying attention to what's been going on in the offseason the last few months, a lot of people haven't. If you've been paying attention, you're an expert. Put your money where your mouth is. Try to prove it by putting some money down, having some fun with some of these early games. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Look, I was looking at some of these NBA futures. Donovan Mitchell at plus 5,000. That last time I looked on betonline.ag, Utah, I don't think that they're a legit title contender, but they're kind of one of these teams that has the makings of a group that could go, you know, kind of post a really great regular season record. Really solid guys, 8 through 9, no major weaknesses. I think they could just win games on a night-to-night basis. And in this 72-game season, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they end up with the number one seed in the Western Conference. You're going to have teams like the Lakers and the Clippers resting their stars. Outside of those guys, I don't think there's a clear number one. Why not Utah? And if they're up there with one of the top two seeds in the West, Donovan Mitchell presumably is going to be leading them in scoring. I don't know. I'm not saying that he's my favorite to win the MVP, but at those odds, I kind of like him. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Again, get in on the action. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% off and a welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag. As far as the second part of this question, Michael Mulder has, in the preseason, in that first preseason game, when he's gotten on the court, he has delivered. And if this three-point shooting problem remains an issue, then I think Steve Kerr is going to be forced to play Michael Mulder earlier in these games. I mean, that dude, I know he backed into the final spot on this roster, but he's the second-best shooter on this team, no? I mean, he is. He has to be. Behind Steph, he's the best three-point shooter on the team. And so if you're Steve Kerr and you're having a night like that where 0 of 7 on your first 7 three-point attempts, and you look down your bench and you see Michael Mulder sitting there, who are you going to go to? It's got to be Michael Mulder. It has to be. It's not going to be Jordan Poole. It's not going to be Brad Wanamaker. It's not going to be Kent Bazemore. It's not going to be Damian Lee. Get the guy who you know can make threes. That's Mulder, man. He came in last night, 2 three-pointers right away. Boom. Done. You need space to the floor, bring in Mulder. Look at what the Nets starting lineup was last night. Kyrie Irving, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan. Three-point shooting wizard dribbler at point guard, Kyrie Irving. Warriors have that too in Steph Curry. Better version of that in Steph Curry. Why not start the three-point shooter next to Steph? That could be Michael Mulder. Instead of Joe Harris, that's Michael Mulder. Spencer Dinwiddie, point guard guy. Ball handler, can guard a couple different positions. Warriors have a version of that, Brad Wanamaker. Now, of course, they don't have Kevin Durant anymore, but you start your longest, you know, most versatile scorer, guy with the killer instinct. Maybe that's Kelly Oubre. DeAndre Jordan. I mean, James Wiseman has been compared to DeAndre Jordan. He's already your starter. Steve Kerr last night said that as the season goes on, he's going to play with the rotations, that nothing is settled, and if you play well, then you will earn your minutes. But this starting lineup of Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, and James Wiseman, with presumably, well, not presumably, obviously, Draymond Green when he comes back and he's healthy, maybe that's your starting lineup. Or maybe it's not. Maybe you need more spacing. Maybe you need to give up on this idea of being a top 10 defense. Maybe Andrew Wiggins should be just coming off the bench in a Caris LeVert-type role and being your leading six man. Maybe that's what he's best suited for. That's okay. As the Warriors saw last night, Caris LeVert caused them a lot of problems. Running a second unit, that's an important job. Manu Ginobili is going to be a Hall of Famer because of it. Caris LeVert's going to help the Brooklyn Nets ascend to the top of the Eastern Conference in that role. Andrew Wiggins, why not put him in that position? Why not make him your long term? It's just food for thought is all I'm saying. I'm not, after one game, saying that the Warriors need to completely scratch their starting unit and start over. I'm just saying you need to think about it. Because all the puzzle pieces are all over the place right now, and eventually it's going to start to come into place. And it would not be shocking to me if it didn't look the way it did on opening night. Now, it's hard to make big statements and draw conclusions off of a game where you're playing arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference and inarguably a legit title contender in Brooklyn without your second most important player in Draymond Green. And I have maintained this all along. I am not ready to draw huge conclusions before I see this team with Draymond. He is going to be so important to what they do on offense as an organizer and on defense as a communicator and an organizer. So I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on any knee-jerk reactions. But that doesn't mean that things aren't going to change in the next 2-3 months in this first part of the season. And it would not shock me if you see a guy like Michael Mulder ascend to the top of this rotation, to a core part of the rotation, because, man, the dude can shoot. He tries hard on defense. He does not have this blasé attitude that sometimes guys like Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre can have. And sometimes that's half the battle. Again, if you want to chat, you can request to speak here on the Locker Room app. If you have a question, if you have an opinion, if you have a take, a reaction to what I've been talking about, just request to speak here on the Locker Room app, and we'll get to you. And boom, we already have one. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Stravran?
It's Stravran, yeah.
Stravran, great to talk to you. What's going on, man?
You're called Wes, right? Wes?
Wes. Correct?
Yeah. I was talking, I heard you talking about Andrew Wiggins, the sixth man. I actually disagree with your take. I think he's better starting because I think he functions best as a secondary role rather than a primary role. I saw some minutes yesterday, again, small sample size, where he was a primary ball handler, and all I saw him was dribbling and jacking up mid-range shots. I think he'll function best in a secondary role when Draymond comes back. Like, I think that's how Draymond... I think if Kerr can stagger Draymond and Curry, I think offense will be reasonably afloat when Curry sits. And maybe Wiggins, I think, is better in a secondary role.
I agree with you. And I think, look, Draymond Green, that's why I say you can't really judge this thing until Draymond comes back, right? So
yeah,
absolutely right. And Wiggins is better in that role. Kerr has used Andrew Wiggins in that primary role for the second unit so far, right? We've seen Wiggins start with this group, and then eventually Steph Curry goes to the bench. Andrew Wiggins rests midway through the first quarter. Steph Curry plays the entire first quarter. Steph goes to the bench at the beginning of the second quarter, and Andrew Wiggins comes back in to lead this group with Eric Paschal and Marquise Chris and Kent Bazemore and Brad Wanamaker and some of these other guys. And Wiggins is sort of the primary dude in that role. But I agree with you. You need to see what Wiggins looks like in more of a tertiary role when Draymond comes back. Because when Draymond comes back, he's basically your point guard. How confident are you, Shravan, to... about what Draymond Green will bring to this team, because I think he's going to have more of an immediate impact on offense. He'll help defensively, but I think they're really missing him on offense.
Yeah, I think he'll help on offense because, again, I think I read a Steph Curry quote somewhere, I think in the past few days, that he actually prefers playing a little bit more off-ball. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what Draymond enables you. Steph Curry can play off-ball, and when they're trapping him, or I think I saw a image yesterday which is being circulated among Warriors Twitter, that like Steph Curry is facing triple teams sometimes. So when that happens, like Draymond is an excellent release valve on 4-on-3s or 4-on-2s. Like, he can pick up out an offense that way. Yeah, I don't understand why fans are overreacting that, like, you can't conclude anything without Draymond. Like, everyone, I saw some Draymond bashing by some people, like, he's not that important, but I think he is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thanks for joining, Shravan. But Draymond Green is the second most important player on this roster. I don't think there's any question about it. Defensively, he's going to come in. He's going to organize guys. He's going to help on help defense. It would not shock me if it was Draymond this year that not only was picking up guys like Kevin Durant, but was picking up guys like Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James. Right? Because you've got James Wiseman now who can pick up the big dudes. And I know he's 19 years old and he's raw, but you by starting him on opening night, you have signaled we're throwing this guy into the fire. And so there's no point at now at holding anything back. Let him guard Anthony Davis. Let him guard Serge Ibaka. See what he's got. I'm not saying he's going to do a great job, but he's better than any other option you have at center right now. Might as well try it. And as far as Draymond Green goes, like, whatever Eric Paschal was doing to Kevin Durant last night, it was not defending him. And so you're going from not only everything that we know Draymond brings to the table, but that upgrade from Eric Paschal to Draymond Green is going to be huge. Draymond Green is still one of the best 40 players in the league. Super impactful. He's not going to score double-digit points. He's not going to do that sort of thing. Right? He might just, last year he averaged 8, 6, and 6. This year he needs to average 8, 8, and 8. And that's a really good season for Draymond Green. And offensively, he's basically your point guard. He's basically your point guard. He's going to run that that pick and roll with Steph. He's going to do the short roll. He's going to run those 4-on-3, 4-on-4, 4-on-2 breaks, stuff like that. You need him to do those things. And so, yeah, you can't really get a full picture. Steph Curry last night after the game was telling us that, you know, he felt like most of the plays ended with him as the primary ball handler. Like Stroman said, that's not the way to go. That's not how Steph Curry is at his best. He's not James Harden. He's Steph Curry. He doesn't need the ball to be effective. In fact, he's more effective when he's running around, scampering about the three-point line, running, and threatening with his outside jumper. That's where you need him. But if you don't have Draymond Green out there and you've got Eric Paschal standing in the corner instead of Draymond Green running the offense, that's a really big difference. I think you can't draw huge conclusions off of this game and or on this team until Draymond is a part of it.
We'll be right back with more from the Mail Call episode after this.
This one comes from MJ Castro, who writes in, Who do you think can help Steph get open shots? Well, it's Draymond Green. So this is related, right? It's Draymond Green. In that starting lineup, Draymond. But would not shock me if Steve Kerr always made sure that there was a legit ball handler playing next to Steph. And when I say legit ball handler, I don't really mean Andrew Wiggins. I mean a guy like Brad Wanamaker, maybe Nico Mannion. He looked good in the preseason, man. Nico Mannion, maybe you get him some run. Guys like that. Again, I'll go back to what Brooklyn was doing last night. I think they were on to something. Yeah, they looked small, right? Kyrie Irving, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan. Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan are your only big guys on that roster. Now, Kevin Durant's 7 feet tall, so is DeAndre Jordan. So you can afford to go small in some other areas. But you're essentially playing three guards. Would not shock me if the Warriors went to more three-guard lineups. Maybe they should. I don't know how realistic even having a top 10 defense is when you have Draymond, even when you have Draymond Green. You're starting at a raw 19-year-old in James Wiseman. I know he's big. I know the 7-foot wingspan. I get it. But he's not an anchor of a top 10 defense right now. Maybe one day he can be, but not right now. No. It's unrealistic. It's unfair to ask him to do that. So maybe give up on the top 10 defense. Maybe settle for being an above average defense. Top 15, 16. That'd be a bigger improvement than being fifth worst in defensive rating last year. Maybe try more to be a high scoring offensive team. That's why I really want to see a lineup of Steph Curry, Brad Wanamaker, Michael Mulder, Kelly Oubre, James Wiseman. That's the lineup I want to see. You've got Steph, Mulder, and Wanamaker, who you all have to respect from the three-point line. You've got Oubre, who can do stuff. And then you've got Wiseman, who's demanding attention in the paint, vertical spacing, etc. That's the lineup I really want to see. Kind of mirrors what Brooklyn had, except obviously you don't have Kevin Durant. You've got Kelly Oubre instead. But, you know, you can't have everything, I guess. You already had Kevin Durant for a few years. It worked out pretty well. Dynasty Over writes in, so now that we're headed back to the lottery, what kind of roster changes can we expect around the trade deadline? Wow. So this is kind of sad. Dynasty Over. Sad Twitter handle, already accepting that they are going back into the lottery. I don't know that the Warriors are that bad. Again, not ready to make sweeping conclusions until Draymond Green is a part of this team. But I would say this. Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre should not be off limits in a trade. And if you need a guy, if you need to add some size to this team, I think that there's people like Blake Griffin, Al Horford, LaMarcus Aldridge, veteran bigs who are out there and available that you may want to consider making a move for. If you need a guy who can create his own shot, maybe you should call San Antonio about DeMar DeRozan on an expiring contract. Rather than lose DeMar DeRozan for nothing, would they prefer to get Andrew Wiggins? I don't know the answer to that. Because you could trade those salaries, basically swap them, call it a day. Would the Spurs rather just clear a cap space? Or would they take 25-year-old Andrew Wiggins? Do they view Andrew Wiggins as a negative asset? It's a conversation at least worth having. I don't know how realistic that would be. I would not be willing to package a first-round pick along with Andrew Wiggins for DeRozan on an expiring deal. That, to me, is not worth it. Especially when Klay Thompson's coming back next year. But it would be, these are the sort of trade calls that I would be having. I think you could start Wiseman with Blake Griffin. Play Draymond Green as small forward. Why not? He looks slim. Tell him to do some more miles on the Peloton. Like I said, Draymond Green might be your best option to guard Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard. Why not just play him at small forward? Especially if you have a versatile guy like Blake Griffin playing next to him. Andrew Wiggins for Blake Griffin? I don't know. I don't know where Detroit's at. They're rebuilding. Andrew Wiggins is young. Blake Griffin isn't. Playmaking four. You'd have two of the best passing bigs in the league in Draymond Green and Blake Griffin. Why not? You need ball handling next to Steph. That's how you maximize Steph Curry's skill set. Al Horford, LaMarcus Aldridge, they can space the floor. They can rebound for you. Defend a little bit. I don't know if you can expect this, going back to the question, but would be something. Again, if you want to chat, just request a chat here on the Locker Room app. Thanks to everybody who has submitted questions. Getting to a final one here, coming from NoCap757. Why doesn't Bob and Joe just build around their two star players, Clay and Steph, and get solid NBA bench players like every other NBA team? We're in the tax for what reason? We're not even a winning team. Do you see this happening? I'm tired of the G League bench players every season. Trade Wiggins, keep Oubre, and I'd look to move Draymond Green too. You can get what he gives you for a much cheaper cost. Just look at Marcus Smart. Do you think that the Warriors organization has thought about this? $30 million for Wiggins is ridiculous. John Hollinger called us a JV team after that Nets game. So I know that it's doom and gloom for everybody, all Warriors fans after that one game. Again, I would just caution, I would just tell you, just tap the brakes a little bit. The Brooklyn Nets are really, really good. The Warriors had a clunker of a night. They did not have Draymond Green in the lineup. I disagree. Look, I think Marcus Smart is a good player. He's going to be due for an extension. He's going to make Draymond Green money. Guys like Marcus Smart, guys like Draymond Green still get paid in today's NBA. They do. Marcus Smart's going to get paid. He just hasn't been a helpful player for you. You just can't expect him to shoot 38% from three-point range and score in double digits anymore. But he does these other things that you need, and it's important. So, again, tap the brakes on any major conclusions before we see this group with Draymond Green a part of this offense and a part of this defense. But if the Warriors miss the playoffs again, they have to have a really adult conversation about, do we want to keep being one of the highest payrolls in the NBA? Is it worth it to us to keep paying this luxury tax out of the wazoo? And the answer very clearly and obviously is no, it is not. Kelly Oubre is on an expiring deal. You can save $14 million right away. You could do that. Maybe it's worth trading Andrew Wiggins for an expiring contract of some kind and trying to clear space within a year. Maybe that's the sort of thing that they have to do. But again, no sweeping conclusions just yet. It's something that they'd have to think about, but not right now. Not right now. But that will do it for today's Mail Call episode. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening here on the Locker Room app. We will be doing these mail call episodes every week. Stay safe, and I'll see you here next week.